بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما صدق الله العظيم Respected brothers and elders in Islam, all of us have parents. In my previous khutbah, we discussed about the duties which we owe to our parents when they are alive. And today, inshallah ta'ala, I would like to discuss if our parents have passed on, they have passed away, they are no longer alive, what rights do I owe to them? So inshallah, before we come to that, let me summarize, let me discuss what I have discussed in the previous khutbah. Number one, respected brothers, we discussed the same culture which advocates, which promotes days like Mother's Day, Father's Day, and they speak to the world about how you should care parents, but that same society end up sending their parents into elders' homes, the same society sue their parents for money, the same society take their parents to courts just for some worldly gain. But respected brothers, on an Islamic perspective, Islam has taught every human being on how he should conduct himself, the right which he holds when his parents are alive, plus after the demise of his parents. Thereafter we discuss, respected brothers, when our parents are alive, how could we fulfill our duties? And we learnt that the Quran and Hadith, we see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a Hadith, the most deserving person to whom we have to give more preference after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul is our mother. And we discussed the reason for that, and I mentioned five reasons why a mother is preferred over a father. Number one, a mother had to undergo the hardships of pregnancy. Number two, she had to undergo labor pains. Number three, she had a difficult time feeding her child. Number four, she was weak, yet she was ready to support her children. And the final reason was she had to sacrifice her young age for her child. These are the five reasons why a mother is preferred over a father. Thereafter, respected brothers, we discussed on how to make them happy. Some tips I had discussed with you. We had broken that down into two. One, those who are already living with their parents. They have their parents. They meet them every day. They are in the same house. And then we discussed about those who haven't got that opportunity, or in fact they have settled in life, they got married and they are no longer staying with their parents, they are living separate, how we could conduct ourselves with our parents. So there we discussed about a simple deed, I think, which most of us would have done within the past month, kissing the forehead of our parents, just before we leave home and the moment we enter our houses. Kissing the forehead of our parents, that was one. Number two, if we are not living with them, at least to make a call and ask them their health, their state, and how they are. Just to spend few minutes in the phone. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, so those were the few things which we discussed in our previous khutbah. Before I start with today's khutbah, let us understand, when it comes to a child and parent relationship, it is not always children who are to be blamed. I am not taking sides. But what I am trying to say is, if we are parents, we need to understand that we have certain duties towards our children. And as children, we have to look at it as a son. I have certain duties towards my parents. Just to go hand in hand. The problem today is, some parents, they say, my child doesn't listen to me. That is their argument. And the child says, my parents don't listen to me. When both having this problem, there is repelling. Like a magnet, when there are two magnets, having the same poles, we can never expect them to attract. That's a problem today. So each one of us, whether we are parents or children, we demand for our rights, but rarely we fulfill our duties. We demand for our rights, but rarely fulfill our duties. So respected brothers, the points which I am to discuss with you, a lot has to be played from a parent's side than a son's child, a son's part or a child's part. So before I go there, I would like to tell you, it's important as parents that we bring up our children in an environment where they would remember Allah and His Rasul. That is number one. The environment plays. If the environment where my child is brought up is not according to the teachings of Islam, we cannot expect the 4 points which we are going to discuss will happen after my death. As parents, we have to bear that in mind. And number two, as children, we have to look at it as, my parents didn't bring up me in such a way that I am a good Muslim. I am a good Muslim. As children, let us now bring about a change. It's all right. My parents were ignorant about certain things. That is why they couldn't give me the correct navigation. But as a child today, I have understood what my parents did was some sort. There were some mistakes in them bringing me up. Let me rectify that and become a good Muslim. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, when we take, all of us have one soul, one life. We own one life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us one life. The moment we close our eyes, the moment we depart from this world, we don't have another opportunity of coming back. In hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the martyr, the shaheed, would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, grant me life, I will go back to the dunya, and I will strive in your path, and I'm ready to give my life for your sake. But that will not be fulfilled. So life is only once. So all of us have one. But respected brothers, the advantage is, when we become parents, we open up the door to own many lives. If a person has one child, he has an extra life. If he has two children, he has two lives. If he has 10 children, he has got 10 bonus lives. Why did I say this? All of us know the hadith of the Prophet where he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the a'mal of the son of Adam is disconnected the moment he passes away, except for three. And there he mentioned about three things. Number one, he mentioned about sadaqah. Number two, he mentioned about knowledge. And finally he said, waladin salihin yad'u lahu. This person leaves behind a son or a daughter who prays for his behalf, or does good deeds on his behalf, recites Quran on his behalf, gives sadaqah on his behalf. So respected brothers, just imagine, if a person has many children, he has got many lives. So the moment these children do many good deeds, he's going to receive the merits of all those children. La raiba fi, there is no doubt about that. So let us practice the hadith of Prophet, tazawwajul wadud al walud, get married to those who will show you love and those who can bear more children. Because the more children we have more extra lives. The more extra lives we have lot of reward in the hereafter. In a hadith, narration is in Ibn Majah, hadith is graded as Hasan. A person comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَبَقِيَ مِنْ بِرِّ أَبَوَيَّ شَيْءٌ أَبَرُّهَا بِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِهِمَا. Are there any rights which I owe to my parents after their demise? This is what he asked the Prophet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Naam, yes, naam. There are certain rights which you owe. Number one, he said, As-salatu alayhima. As-salatu alayhima. To make dua for your parents. I will be interpreting each point, inshallah. Number two, he said, well, istighfaru lahuma. To seek forgiveness for your parents. This is number two. Number three, he said, ifa'um bi uhudihima min ba'di mawtihima. To fulfill their promises after their death. To fulfill the promises of your parents after their death. Number four, he said, wa ikramu sadiqihima wa silatul rahim allati la tusalu illa bihima. To join those ties which your parents used to maintain. To join the ties which your parents used to maintain. So basically one hadith gives us the four rights which we owe to our parents after their demise. When you take the first one, respected brothers, as-salatu alayhima, to make dua to our parents. Remember, dua is not restricted only after their demise. All of us need to bring the practice in life that we make dua to our parents when they are alive. Sometimes, we hardly find time to make dua for ourselves. You might have a question, will I find time for my parents? Sometimes, it's rarely 24 hours of the day would have passed, I wouldn't have raised my hands to my Rabb, asking Him to forgive me. If that is my case, respected brothers, forget about parents. That is why I told you, I mentioned that as parents we need to bring up our children in an Islamic manner. If they are not brought up in that correct manner, we cannot expect them to make dua for us. Leave alone making dua for us, they will not have time to make dua for them. When we take Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Quran says, رَبَّنَا اغْفِغْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. O Allah, O our Lord, اغْفِرْ لِوَالِدَيَّ. O Allah, forgive my parents. Who recited this dua? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. O Allah, forgive my parents. So most of us know his parents didn't accept Islam. Mufassirun write, this dua was read by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam before he understood, before he got to know that they would turn out to become his enemies. There are so many other tafsir written under this verse, but this is an ayat of the Quran. Number two, respected brothers, all of us know a very short dua, but seldomly practiced. Quran says in Surah Al-Isra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمُهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Kul. The word kul means say. Rabbi. Rabbi. My Allah. Oh my Allah. Irhamhuma. Show mercy on my parents. Irhamhuma. Show mercy on my parents. كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Like they had brought me up when I was small. They had nurtured me. They have made me someone today. So therefore, Ya Allah, show mercy on them. This dua, respected brothers, just one part. Irham huma. Irham huma. That's it. Rabbi irham huma. Kama rabbayani sagira is the second part of it. But at least, Ya Allah, have mercy on my parents. If you don't know Arabic, at least in English, we can make that dua. Ya Allah, have mercy on my parents. Ya Allah, have mercy on them. Ya Allah, forgive their sins. Ya Allah, cure their sicknesses. Ya Allah, grant them happiness in life. The short duas we can make to them. And thereafter, respected brothers, the most important dua which all of us have to make after their demise is during the Salatul Janazah. During Salatul Janazah, after the third takbir. Scholars say, rather than calling it Salatul Janazah, the purpose of that prayer is dua. The purpose of Salatul Janazah is dua. If there is no dua in that prayer, it's not worth. Secured nothing. Today we have two types of people. One group, they send a family member to conduct the prayer. They expect him to read the dua. But sadly, this person hasn't memorized the dua. That is one. Another group of people, forget, they leave alone sending someone from their family. They don't bother whoever conducts the prayer for their parents' janazah. They would ask some third person to do it. Whether he reads the dua or not is not their concern. Have you prayed the Salatul Janazah on your mother or your father? Yes, it's done. Respected brothers, remember, it is not like marking a register. The ritual of the janazah is done. Next, it's burial. We washed the janazah, we did kafan, janazah was brought to the masjid, conducted prayer, burial is done, salam, khalas. We are done with it. No. Especially this dua, all of us need to memorize. We need to have firm intention today that I am going to memorize this dua, and I will have firm intention that I am going to conduct the Salatul Janazah for my parents. What if my child goes before me? It's all right. As a father, I am going to lead the prayer and I will be reading the complete dua. Today in some places we would hear, they say, if you have not memorized the dua, say Allahumma ighfir lahu warhamhu. If you don't know the dua, this is a shortcut for you. Allahumma ighfir lahu warhamhu. So the congregation, they think, okay, I have done a big favor for my parents. Oh Allah forgive, Allahumma ighfir lahu, Allah forgive him, have mercy on him. He brought you up so, he has sacrificed his life to make you someone, and finally we send our parents with two duas. Allahumma ighfir lahu warham. And we have done the rituals. As a son, is this what we need to do to our parents? There are so many other things included in that dua. Allahumma ighfir lahu warhamhu fa'afihi wa'fu anhu wa akrim nuzulahu wa wassi' mudkhalahu waghsilhu bil ma'i was salji wal barad wa naqqihi min adh-dhunubi wal khataaya kama naqqaita ath-thawb al abyad min ad-danas wa abdil lahu daran khayran min darihi wa ahlan khayran min ahlihi wa zawjan khayran min zawjihi. And the dua continues. As parents, how many of us have taught this dua to our children? As children, how many of us have loved to our parents and we memorized it? One of the two should take place. Either parents should teach or children should learn. Children expecting, my parents didn't teach me, so I'm not going to read it. That's not right. We need to change, respected brothers. Final gratitude to our parents is that before we keep them under the soil. So let us memorize that dua. This dua is found in Hisnul Muslim, the Fortress of the Muslim, and many other dua kitabs. So that is number one. Number two, praying for forgiveness. As human beings, they would have made mistakes. Even after their demise, it is all right. We can ask Allah to forgive them. We can ask Allah to forgive them. Allah will surely accept that dua. Let us do that. Number three, fulfilling their promises. Sometimes they will have something written in their will. We need to fulfill that. We shouldn't usurp the wealth. Sometimes they might have the bequests have to be fulfilled 100% without any mistake, without any decrease. It is a right which we owe to our parents. And finally, respected brothers, we need to honor their friends and we need to uphold the ties of kinship which they used to maintain. Leave alone friends, the question today is, how many of our parents, or in fact how many of us, maintain our family ties? Leave alone friends. Friends will come after that. Most of the youngsters today, they don't know their relationship. It's in two places generally we come to know our relationships. Number one, in the houses of janazah. You see someone come from somewhere, says, Assalamu alaikum, do you know me? Do you recognize me? You were small when I met you, and now you've grown up, what are you doing? Only then you know, this uncle, I heard your name, but I don't know you myself. I know you, my father used to tell about you, but I don't know. This is our relationship when it comes to family ties. Leave alone friends. And the other place is during walimas and weddings. We see them and they come, are you the son of so and so? Yes, I am. I am this uncle, you know me? I remember meeting you somewhere. Sometimes there are elders who ask us for the relationship and the youngsters say, I'm very sorry uncle, I don't know the relationship. I would say, respected brothers, as parents we need to teach our children who our relatives are. If we don't do that, after the demise of yours, sorry, the children are not going to continue that bond. They will forget them. The children will be busy with their close friends and they will forget the friends of his father or mother or the relatives. That has happened today. It has happened today, respected brothers. When we take Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu's son, a very nice incident, riwayat in Muslim. One day he set out of Makkah. He was set out of Makkah and he had a donkey with him. So whenever he was tired riding the camel, he used to switch to the donkey and he would continue the journey. On this particular day he was wearing a turban. When he passed by a Bedouin, all of you know Bedouins are not, they don't live in the city, they live in the outskirts of Makkah or Medina. They were from the, we call them deserted Arabs. So one of the Bedouins saw Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Aren't you so and so?" He recognized him immediately. He recognized immediately. And he said, "Yes, I am." And then, the moment he heard that, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu gave his donkey to that man, and he removed his turban and gave it to him. And respected brothers, those who were with Abdullah ibn Umar said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "This person, this Bedouin, was my father's friend. So I am paying gratitude for that, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us the best of actions is to be kind, show kind treatment to a person whom your parents loved." So respected brothers, these are the four. Let us bring them into practice. Number one, making dua. Number two, praying for forgiveness. And then fulfilling their promises and joining ties with them. If we do this, inshallah ta'ala, we would be amongst those children who have fulfilled our rights to them even after their demise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice whatever was said. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.